Good morning, church, and a special warm welcome to our brothers and sisters in the gospel. It's so good to have you with us. It's a real honor, so thank you. It's my privilege to ask you to open up to Acts chapter 1, verse 1 in your Bibles, and we'll be looking at the message today around being a Spirit-empowered people. A Spirit-empowered people. And this is continuing our mini-series on foundational teaching that's shaping us as a church. We looked at just before Easter, what is the gospel and why does it matter? We then had Mark preach about making disciples. And it's my privilege, and it's deliberately linked to Missions Week, to talk about being a Spirit-empowered people. And so let's turn our attention to God's word. I'm reading from Acts chapter 1. Verse 1 to 8 this morning. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They still had a very small view of what Jesus was trying to do. Verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Then he gives them the mission of God. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea." They felt happy about that. But then he carries on. "And Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And friends, today, I want to speak about the connection between Jesus saying to his disciples that they needed to wait for power on high, to be clothed with power from the Holy Spirit, but linked directly to the mission of being witnesses and how the two are inseparable. The one is needed for the other. And my opening point today is a reminder, church, that we are totally dependent on the Spirit. Can you just nod that you heard that? We are totally dependent on the Spirit. I want to remind you this morning that our faith is a supernatural faith. Okay? And we saw it when we talked about the gospel and why does it matter. We need the help of the Spirit right at the very beginning of our spiritual journey. In order to become a Christian, you need the power of the Spirit to work in your life. And the gospel, remember what it was in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we said it was the power of God. Can we all say the power of God? The power of God for everyone, for salvation to everyone who believes. What Paul is saying is as we share the gospel, the Spirit backs that message, and it requires the very power of God to come into a human heart in order to start their journey of being alive to Jesus and becoming a Christian. That's awesome. And the reason why I say our faith is supernatural, nobody can be a Christian without the greatest miracle of all by the Spirit taking place in their heart, which is the new birth. Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter in. Unless one is born of water, in other words, it's symbolic of you being born a human being through the waters of your mommy breaking, and the Spirit, when the power of God comes and meets you when you hear the gospel, unless you are born by the power of the Spirit, you are outside of the kingdom of God. There is power in the message because of the power of the Spirit working through the message. Praise God. But there is more for us to learn from this Acts chapter 1 today. It's not just power in the message that's required. Don't you see it's power for the messenger? What did Jesus say? "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying, there is power in the gospel, yes. But friends, if anybody here is serious about taking those gospel to the people around them, they will encounter weakness. That this messenger that has to take the gospel is weak. And I want to nudge you this morning and say, I don't think you really need the power of the Spirit in your life if you don't take witnessing seriously. You see, our lives are too small. We trust God for some of our needs and some of our close family. But you only really start to feel your need for the help of the Spirit when you take seriously facing your colleagues, your families, and your friends by telling them about Jesus. And I want to nudge us further today. We will never be a church really interested in what God is offering by the help of the Spirit if we will not take seriously the call on each of us here today to be his witnesses. It is my humble observation that a church is not interested in prayer, who is not interested in witnessing. It's my observation that the church is not really fervent in her walk with the Lord when there's no interest in witnessing. And church, I want to say in my own life, I never needed God more than when I was in Dis-Chem working as a pharmacist, faced with countless people knowing that I have been put there for the sake of the gospel. And the best thing that happened to me was being serious when I arrived and said, told everybody, guys, I'm a Christian. I go to church. And the second that they knew that, I knew I was on display. And when that happens in your life, you realize you are weak because your sin is still there, not so? You get angry, you get frustrated, you get impatient. And you also realize that when you start to tell people about Jesus, you're facing what can often hurt by their sort of weird remarks and looks and going, oh dear, it's one of those people. And I want to say to you today, there is something on offer for you which is gold, but you have to take it this morning. Is if you will take seriously that Jesus, by his Spirit working in you and the new birth, has set you up to be his witness because of the presence of the power of the Spirit in your life. Friends, until you start to take that seriously, I don't think you will really begin to experience how serious Jesus is about the Spirit's help in your life and how much you need him. You know, when you start taking the gospel seriously, you start realizing you're faced with all sorts of things. And as you begin to lean into the Lord, you start to realize what Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. He says, you are to be filled with the Spirit every day. Every day. When you realize how great the mission is, but how weak the messenger is, what you need is a desperate, filling, and empowering a supernatural help for a supernatural gospel in a weak messenger. You need the daily infillings of the Spirit. And Paul is absolutely serious. Continuous, active sense. We are to be continuously filled with the Spirit. And he says, don't be surprised that in hours of need, it comes at you in a special way. If you look at the book of Acts, it is my humble view that God only told the church to wait once before they were sent out to go. He gave, in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. That was the command. That was the standing command to go. But the reason why in the book of Acts he says, you stay, is they were to model their need for the power of the Spirit inside of them in order for them to reach the ends of the earth. You with me? Never again is Jesus saying to the disciples, you must wait for something to happen to you. What he is proving is the mission of God is moving forward by the grace of God coming to them by the power of the Spirit. And this is his promise. As we take seriously the witnessing of the gospel to the people around us, we will find in our need God powerfully supplies. You know, I'll be honest this morning. I grew up in a church, and I'm grateful for it. Very open to the move of the Spirit. But they missed one thing, and the church has died because of it. It was not for some form of entertainment or goosebumps that the Spirit was invited to fill our lives. It was for the gospel. And I want to share with you today why the new the early church in the New Testament is a model for our dependency on the Spirit. My second point is why should we be interested? Why should we be interested in the infillings and help on a daily basis from the Spirit, for the gospel? Well, my second point is how the Spirit empowers a messenger to bring the message. Remember, I'm saying that though there's power in the gospel and we share it, we also feel weak in taking it. And church, the thing that marks me about the book of Acts particularly is the effects of the infillings of the Spirit upon the early church. Just think about those believers for a moment in Acts chapter 1 and 2. They feel very much like me. There they are in a hostile city, Jerusalem, that the authorities have just crucified Jesus. And they are not going out in the temple to wait in Jerusalem every day. They could have done that, you know, in answering Jesus' command. They could have gone out to the public place and let's pray. Let's wait and ask God for the promise of the Father to come and fill us with the Spirit. They could have gone to an open ground, maybe in Gethsemane to relive Jesus' experience, or maybe the Mount of Olives. They could have gone anywhere. Where did they choose to gather and pray? Can anybody tell me? In an upper room. Do you know why they're in the upper room? Because it had a locked door. Isn't that interesting? And friends, what they were doing is they were praying and saying, God, you've told us to stay, but they were too scared to stay in the city publicly. They were doing it in private and they were praying, God, won't you please come and answer this promise of the Father being poured out onto our lives. And friends, you know what happens? The second the Spirit came down upon the church, what happens is they don't stay there singing kumbaya. They break out of the doors that were locked and suddenly they're on the streets. And what are they talking about? They are talking about Jesus, and they're talking about his death and resurrection. All of a sudden, the Spirit is propelling them forward to start doing what Jesus commanded them to do, which is to be witnesses. And what I love about it is suddenly these men that were scared of servant girls like Peter, these men that were too afraid to associate with Jesus at the cross, these women that watched from a distance because they were too afraid to get in trouble with the authorities, they are going out to the very people that could threaten their very lives. And what they find is they are gripped with this glory of the person of Christ. And suddenly tongues comes upon them and they're speaking in other languages and the nations are being reached from day one. The nations are starting to be touched by the gospel from day one. And from that moment, boldness comes upon these disciples and the world is never the same again. You are sitting here on the tip in East London of Africa because the power of the Spirit has come upon the church and the gospel is taking ground and you are benefiting from the people that lent into the serious commission of Jesus saying, you will be my witnesses. Praise God that this amazing Jesus doesn't just send us out with the gospel. He sends us out with the Spirit. He sends us out with the need for this great boldness to come upon us by the help of the Spirit. And I put it to you again, friends, you read your book of Acts within four chapters. They are faced with the threats of these authorities and they are saying, you dare speak in the name of Jesus. You dare tell these people about this name of Jesus. And we'll throw you in prison. We'll execute you. And you know what they say? There, Peter stands up and he says, well, you must decide for yourselves whether we have to listen to God or to man. And then they get released. They get to the early church praying. And what does the church ask for? By Acts chapter 4, the same people that experienced the outpourings of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 are crying out to God for fresh help from the Spirit because of these threats of these authorities. And Acts chapter 4, verse 19, once again, as they are praying for boldness, God fills them afresh, powerfully by the Spirit. And suddenly, again, the word of God is continued to be proclaimed across Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. They didn't just need one encounter of the Spirit. They needed the Spirit again and again and again. And as the heat got turned up on the outside, so God seems to be gracious and turn up heat on the inside. And when last today, church, have you felt the burning desire to be obedient to the Savior that saved you? When last have you taken seriously the excitement and rather daunting task of being positioned by the sovereignty of God in the house where you stay, in the school where you work, in the community where you live? When last have you seen this as part of the grand strategy of God thrusting you forward as witnesses for the sake of Christ? I'll tell you one thing, when I see people engage with that kind of way of living, they are never bored. They are on their knees praying about Jesus. They're asking you to pray. I mean, that's what Bryce is like. It can be rather exhausting at times. He'll come into my office and say, Matt, we're trusting God for this in here, and we're praying for this in here. You know what it does for me? I'm going, he is enjoying Jesus in a way that I long to. This man is engaged with such purpose. He's not worried about his pension. Sure, he manages his money, but he's not driven about fear. He's not driven about what ifs and what else and what's not happening. He's driven by the possibility of being on mission with Jesus every day, and he's different because of it. I'm going to say to you again, church, I have been praying for you and for me. And what I worry about is we are so bored. We worry about our children. We worry about our homes. We worry about what we don't have. We worry what the government is not doing. Are we worried today about the mission of Jesus? Because to engage with Christ, friend, is to find eternal life. And I am preaching to me, and I'm preaching to you because I just have such a strong burden in my heart that God is willing to give us something precious if we will take him seriously. You know what I long to see when I look out here from the front into your eyes? I long to see shining eyes, feet clothed with the gospel, testimonies of seeing how you made some mistakes, but you're taking seriously the call of Christ. That's the kind of church God can look upon and say, man, they're after me. I'm going to say something controversial here, but it's true. Do you know that God promises you, as you seek first the kingdom, he promises you, you will have all you need. Do you know what I've seen in the church today is a full reversal of that promise. We stress about what we will need before we actually do what we're called to do. Not so. I'm with you in this today. He says, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, and by the way, Christians, all these other things will be added unto you. You know, I have watched men who have led their families down dangerous roads because of this. There was a pastor at the Ridge called Pastor Higley. Do you know that that man served God with, he lived off very little his whole life. But till the day he died, he was a marvel for me where I could see God has supplied all this man's need. He just kept saying yes to God over and over for the sake of the gospel. And friends, can I make you a promise from God's word today? If you will reverse the priorities of what God is calling you to today, you will see him keep his promises in your life. And you know what we need in a day and age where we listen to so many threats against our faith is we need boldness. Friends, that's the first thing we see in the book of Acts. I won't go through all of them today, but I do want to point your attention to this one. What happened in these people? Please listen carefully to me this morning. What happened in these ordinary people like you and me that suddenly they could step out into an environment in which their lives were threatened and they did not care? Do you know what the Spirit did in them? It's when the Spirit clothed them with power from on high, when the Spirit filled them with this glorious presence of God, they not only had a sense of God's presence being with them, but they were filled with his love. In Romans chapter 5, it says, the Holy Spirit is shed abroad into our hearts. The love of God is shed into our hearts, shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And in that second, they knew that they were so loved by God. You know why that made them bold? Was because when the love of man was at stake, they could forgo it. When they had to look at people that didn't like their message, people that they'd hoped to have their respect from, people that they'd hoped to have reputations intact with, they could say, you know what? I have experienced such love by the ministry of the Spirit into my heart that when your love is up for grabs, it doesn't really matter if you don't give it because I've got what I need in Jesus. When this Spirit was ministering into their hearts, friends, they could see clearly. Colossians was taking place in their life. They were fixing their eyes on what was unseen, not what was seen. And friends, when the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of your heart, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that when the eyes of your hearts are enlightened by the gracious power of the Spirit, you start to see that the weight of glory that is waiting for the Christian far outweighs this passing and fleeting earth. And when the Spirit opens your eyes to see that, suddenly when you have to make your decisions, you're thinking, you know what? Am I going to build in this life, or am I going to build for the next? Am I going to be worried about heaven and hell, or am I going to be worried about the thing that's sore or hurtful on my foot or on my toe or on my schedule for the week or the uncomfort of the office? When you start to see the glory of this coming kingdom open through the power of the Spirit, you start to think differently and live differently. And I just want to ask you today, church, when last have you marveled at what's in store for you? It's coming. You know, I want to try and say, I probably won't get it right, but before my fellow elders this morning, I thought last week as the preaching was happening, we should say after every service, Christ might come today. Christ might come tomorrow. What happens is when you forget about the things of the Spirit that open up the kingdom of God to you, you start to think like the world. And the way the world thinks is, well, this is just going to go on forever. And the most important things are the things that I can get on this earth. When God is offering heaven. And I want to nudge you today and say, when last did you just gaze into this weight of glory that is coming? You need the help of the Spirit to do it, and the church could see it. Or how about this? They so experienced the power of God by the Spirit in their lives. When it came to the authorities and powers of the men, they're like, what are you? Honestly, if I have to choose between you and God, I choose God. Not because they somehow were cleverer, but because they knew that this was the grace of God coming to them by the Spirit. Friends, that's just one thing that came upon the church as they prayed and asked for the empowering Spirit. Do you want to know that power today? Please look at me. Do you sense that need of power today? Because God is offering it. But He offers it as we choose to do what He tells us to do. There are beautiful things to talk about today, and I'm going to just mention them by name. We see the Spirit empowering the church with boldness. Friends, we need it. But it comes as we do what Jesus tells us to do, which is to be witnesses. As we go, we sense the power of the Spirit going with us. And that's how it works. We need to know God's will. I just had some of you on my heart this morning. You know, you are just struggling. Am I in the right job? Am I in the right place? Do you know, there is nothing random in the strategy of God in your life. I hope you believe that today. Because what it does is it makes you have a deep sense of trust that there is great meaning for the gospel in your life whilst you're struggling with feeling restless and frustrated. You look at the life of Paul. He followed common sense, but under the leadership of the Spirit. And friends, we need the Spirit's help to know what is on God's heart as we live out each day. We need wisdom. How many of you have tried to share the gospel, but you don't know what to say? You know, you share your simple testimony, but you're needing help with the questions that come. Friends, Stephen in Acts chapter 6 needed wisdom from God, and it was supplied to him from the Spirit. How about perseverance? You know, when you take seriously sharing the gospel, it's really hard when you don't see any results. How many of your family members you're still praying for after a decade or more? That's me. And when they come down, sometimes it feels like they are further away than where they were last time. How many of you have colleagues where you just feel like you've blown it? You've said the wrong stuff, and now you've got to go and be the Christian, you know? How many of you feel like praying for people, it's just such a waste of time? We have had very frank conversations in our family about how disappointed we can feel when we try and take the gospel seriously. And friends, there is countless examples in the book of Acts, but Paul needed it as much as you do, and it came at the right time through the help of the Spirit. The fifth was compassion. Do you know, this one hit home for me. I don't know when last I've been seriously disturbed by somebody going to hell. And it's real. There's a man called Hudson Taylor. Great missionary to China. He was an ordinary man like you and me. But you know what he did? He had a map of China up on his wall, and he would sit there on his bed, and he knew the stats. The stats were 1 million people in the 19th century in China dying a month without Jesus. And as he prayed and sought Jesus, the Spirit began to grow this groaning in his heart that a million Chinese were dying every month without the hope of Jesus Christ. And that man was not motivated by he had to go because it was just the right thing to do. He was motivated by a broken heart. And for us this morning, when Paul could say in Romans 9, he said, thinking about his Jewish brothers and sisters, he said, I would be willing to be cut off, Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. He says, the Spirit bears me witness that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Friends, that is somebody willing to forsake heaven and embrace hell so that many can find heaven without him. Now, these are just tests. But friends, I have to ask you, when last did you groan for where people who don't know Jesus are at and going? That only comes by the Spirit. There's miraculous help. I won't go into that. There's integrity. The seventh point that is the Spirit, when he's working in your life, makes you hate sin. He makes you hate it. Paul says we ought to live a life worthy of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Friends, these deep workings in our hearts are only possible by the working of the Spirit. And my final point today is how to be filled with the empowering Spirit. Do you know what the first step is? It's need. It's need. Do you know what opens up the kingdom of God to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3? Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what I've been praying for you this morning for? Is that you and I would be brought to our needs, our knees afresh with a longing, a poverty with inside of us for the help of the Spirit. Do you know what it means to be poor in spirit? It's to realize that without the Spirit's help in every area of our lives, we can get nowhere. Can I ask you today, how needy are you before God? Do you want this empowering of the Spirit? It starts with being poor in our own spirit. It's a daily dependency upon a source which can only supply what we need. And we express that need, church, through prayer. You are going to see this week that there is going to be a prayer booklet. I'll explain these things that are cutting off my circulation in a moment. But friends, the right response in need is to pray. And today I sense God inviting us as a church to lean in like we have never done before. I sense God saying, guys, I want to bring you to the end of yourself so that I might introduce myself to you in new ways. And this is for anybody hungry. It's not for the one who thinks they have everything they need, but for the one who can see and have a desire that I need the grace of the Spirit's daily help to become these things for the sake of Christ's witness. It is for you, my friend. You might not know much. You might not think you can do much, but if you have need this morning, the kingdom of heaven is open to you if you will express that need in prayer. And we are praying this week daily for the infillings of the Spirit. Because in Luke chapter 11, verse 3, Jesus said this, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Who ask Him? And friends, we are going to pray daily for the Spirit's empowering. Because in that very chapter of Luke 11, there's a parable about asking, seeking, knocking. And God is saying, come express your need, not just once, but twice. Over and over again, come and tell me how much you need the help of the Spirit in your life. he's willing to supply as we ask. But there's a third thing. So it's not just need. It's not just praying. It's obeying. Do you know what I felt God say to me for us today? Including myself. If we will take him seriously, he will take us seriously. If we will expect him to answer our daily prayers for infillings of the Spirit, where daily we are bringing our dependence and saying, God, as I go into my work, into my home, into the relationships around me, I need you to empower me to be ready with the gospel. If we will begin to take seriously an expectancy that he will speak as we do it, friends, we will start to experience the power he promises. Acts chapter 5 verse 32 says this, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Matthew chapter 13 verse 12 makes this promise from Jesus. He says, for to the one who has, he's talking about the revelation, the ministry of the Spirit that can see truth. When God speaks to you, for to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. As we begin to work out the Spirit of God's leadership and guidance in our lives, in obedience, Jesus says, the one who has and grabs hold of it and starts to work with it and obey with it, more will be given. And his promise is this, we will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What Jesus is saying is, when the Spirit prompts and speaks to you and you neglect it, it dwindles. And what was so clear when it came to you by the Spirit, when it's left unattended over a period of time, what you thought would be clear to you in a week or two's time, it's gone forever. And so church today, it's a challenging word, but a word that I feel strongly and we feel strongly is from the Lord. This whole week is going to set you up to challenge you to take sharing Jesus seriously. Would you obey that call? As we go out as a church, might we fill that need? And one of the ways we're going to do it is I want you to each take your elastics off your, can you hold it in your hand? Then will you take out this? Each one has one. Then I want you to do the following. I want you to take off the elastic and I want you to put it on your phone. Yeah. Now, most of you will have smartphones here. If you don't, it will still work. But we often say we just don't have time. All right? We don't have time to pray. You know, I hope that this morning you've been stirred with a hunger for Jesus and to be used by him. He is willing. But the way that you translate that is to pray. And so you'll notice how annoying it is when you try and work with your phone, but this thing is in the way all the time. Let's practice a little bit. Can you just get the twang here? When you pick up this phone this week for 7 days, we're inviting you to a digital fast. I'm okay if you do work. You can move it up a bit if you need to see your apps. But when you pick it up this week, I want you to remember, God, would you please empower me by your Spirit today for the gospel? And will you empower my sisters and brothers and sisters? Would you pray? Would you remember? And each day of the week, we'll have a prayer point. I didn't get through the sermon. That's fine because it's in the next 7 days. But when you pick this up, you are allowed to use it for work. You remind yourself to pray, but you are not allowed to use it for social media. If you pick it up for YouTube, for Netflix, or for Disney Plus, of a bread box or whatever it is that you love to do, I want you to switch it off and say, I'm going to use this time to pray. Okay? If you're tired of praying, pray with somebody else. Okay? We're going to pray. And then you're going to leave it on your phone. Do you know why? When you take it out your pockets, I'm hoping people ask you, why on earth do you have this on your phone? Well, we are praying about sharing the gospel of Jesus. Can I tell you about what that means? There's a foot in. You flaunt it this week, okay? And you say, well, I don't know what to say. You have a story of what Jesus has done for you. You have a testimony, not so? You can say, man, this is how Jesus has worked in my life through his death and resurrection. I want people to see this on your phone because I want them to know I follow Jesus. Okay? And then, there also, this little thing is you may not take it off or move it until you make sure you have a digital copy of this prayer book on your phone. All right? And you can go, thank you, Rose. That's right. You can go into the website. If you're not part of a small group, it's going out today. You can go onto the website and download a digital copy on your phone. And I want you to read it each day. It has got a beautiful unpacking of the need for the Spirit. They've got all the information of the week for Missions Week. You'll know exactly what to do and where to go through this book. There are those that are partially blind. If you need one digitally, I'm talking about, there are hard copies at the info center for you to grab. But can I ask you to journey with Jesus this week? Can I? I hope that you've been challenged. I hope that God's stirring you to lose your life for his sake and the gospel. Because you know, when you do that, you start to enter into the excitement of what Jesus bled and died for you. Can we pray? Let's stand together. Let's hold our phones with our elastics in our hand. Come on. If you are like me this morning and you just want to express your need for God's daily empowering of the Spirit, would you just put your hands in front of you? It's between you and God. You don't even have to do it, but I just, as a sign of saying, God, I'm poor in spirit. My hands are empty today. Won't you come and breathe upon me afresh with a desire to be your witness? Let's do it together as a church. He is going to answer. He's going to answer. You are here, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. You are pleased to dwell amongst your people. And Lord, we want to listen to your word today, where you said, you will be my witnesses. You, plural, church. Jesus has said it will be, if we are willing to go. It will be, if we are willing to go. And we don't have to go far today. There are people in our homes, in our offices, coming into our offices and schools and workplaces and sports places. There are people that God is bringing for the gospel. He's already bringing them. He is just asking us to go. Lord, I pray, make us a needy church for the Spirit today. Make us needy. Make us needy. We pray that what Bryce preached last week, give us a self-quake to this week, we pray. Give us a self-quake. Make us feel our need as we want to be used by you. I pray today, Lord, that you would rekindle prayer in our lives this week. Lord, might the wonder of having the ear of our God in heaven thrill us. I pray, God, by the Spirit, you would minister the joy of calling upon the name of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, would you birth us with fresh compassion as we do so. Lord, burn our hearts for those that are far from God. Make heaven reality for us and hell. Give us a deep sense of what it means to be outside of the kingdom of God. Jesus, that's your heart. You were forsaken by the Father that we might be reconciled to God. That's what we want in our church, is a compassionate spirit that says, here we are, God, use us, but from a place of love. brokenness, Lord, for the lost, Lord, we pray. And then we ask, God, as you speak, would we obey? Would you make us experts as a church at hearing the voice of God? Please, Jesus, at the nudgings and promptings, the gentle whispers of the Spirit, make us wide open to the ministry of the Spirit through us, we pray. Lord, this is not complicated. This is not difficult. It is an openness and trust that you keep your promise, that you speak as we go. Lord, we pray, might there be boldness and faith in us today to give ourselves to the will of God. We thank you, Lord. You are answering in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen. The Lord bless you. Just want to say, if you're wanting prayer, in my own life, I have been blessed by people praying for me when I have been stuck. We are here. Won't you come? And we'd love to pray for you. Otherwise, enjoy fellowship. Don't take this off until you've got the digital copy, or don't take it off at all, in your hand. Newcomers, please come to the table, but we will see you this week for all the wonderful things we get to do together. All right. Oh, we are fasting on Wednesday as a church. It's in this booklet, but please make sure that you join us Wednesday night for prayer and worship at the church at 7 o'clock. We'll see you there. Thank you.